I want to share with you just a brief passage of scripture from Psalm 105. And if you look at Psalm 105, you see it's a very long chapter. And I have been meditating on these verses for the last few days, the last couple of weeks actually. And they've been a blessing to me. And so I thought I'd share some insights and some thoughts that God has given me that I hope will be a blessing to you. And I want us to think this morning in terms of what God says to us about having a head start in our walk with Him. This is going to be a message on discipleship, what it means to walk with the Lord. And I hope there'll be some very practical ideas here as to that we might be able to grasp and take with us through the week that will be an encouragement. I don't know what you do for a head start in the day. Most of us have our own little thingy-majiggers that we do every morning, right? I use that word thingy-majigger. I'm not sure if that's even a word or not. But we make our coffee. How many of you make coffee first thing you do in the morning? Ah, got to have that coffee. Got to have that roast coffee, no matter what. It used to be that you'd go grab a newspaper, but now newspapers are $2 a paper. And can't afford those anymore. We used to have them delivered to our door, right to our doorstep. I remember just not too long ago, they were about 50 cents a paper. And some of you may remember when they were about 5 or 10 cents a paper. But it just doesn't seem that that's what we do anymore. Many of us will go for this little thingamajigger, and we'll see if there's any text messages that was sent to you overnight, or breaking news. I have this breaking news app that comes up on my phone. I see what's happening. And, you know, I've been thinking about how I might have my day started well. How I might start my day. And there's a lot of junk I've found that I probably don't need to engage in. A lot of stuff that I probably don't need to dabble with. There are things that are really not that important when it comes to really starting your day and getting your day off to a good start. But of course, you've got to have that cup of coffee. You can't miss it. Can't go too long without that. That's got to get you going. I usually have like a bowl of Raisin Bran cereal. How many of you eat Raisin Bran cereal? I think it's great. I love Raisin Bran cereal. And that's my breakfast for the morning. And I get going that way. The other day as I was watching a baseball game, I tend to sometimes watch a baseball game if I want to have a good nap because it gets boring after a while and you fall asleep. But I do watch baseball and I do watch golf for those purposes, but I was watching a baseball game, and I found out that in baseball, almost 70% of the time, the team that scores first wins the game. The first team that gets a score usually wins the game. It's easier in baseball to protect your lead than to come from behind. Now, we're not saying that's not possible, but in baseball, if you get a get a couple of home runs in the beginning, or a couple of runs scored, that's great. You're off to the races. You have a good, sound, firm foundation that the likelihood of that team winning the game is probably higher than any other sport. And so, I thought of that in terms of my Christian walk. And starting my day, getting off to a good start, making sure I hit a good home run, if you will, figuratively speaking, at the beginning of the day, rather than three quarters of the way through. If I want the same with my day, I want to win the day, so to speak, and get an early lead. And it's taken me a long time, but I'm learning this as I grow older, that how your day ends up, for the most part, is determined by how your day begins.
how it starts. And if you're off to a good start, then you're off to the races. If you're off to a bad start, how many of you have had a day when just everything goes wrong right at the very beginning, all through the day, nothing but calamity, nothing but disaster, nothing but disappointment after disappointment, mistake after mistake? I had one of those last week too. And so a good start to your day is a good beginning. It's a good thing. The good news is that we really don't have a whole lot to do with our circumstances. It doesn't have anything to do with the matters that are beyond our control, because there are some things that are way beyond our control. It has everything to do with our resolve. It has everything to do with our determination, with our desire to make things good and make it a good day, to live this day. Because remember, it is the only day God has given you. Remember, you'll never get another one like it. You'll never be able to go back and put the toothpaste back in the tube, sort of thing. It will be the only day you'll have, and you need to make the best of it. And I'm reminded of that verse in the book of Ephesians, that we are to redeem the time because our days are evil. And it means that we need to make the most of every minute of every hour. I become a real stickler when it comes to time management. And before, a long time ago, you know, everything was just disorganized and everything was just here, there, and everywhere. But as I grow older, time management is becoming more of an important factor in my life. But one of my favorite songs, and I can say that about 150 times and still be telling the truth, one of my favorite songs is Psalm 105. It's a psalm that celebrates the goodness and the faithfulness of God. No matter how many times we mess things up, no matter how many times we really are really disastrous in the decisions we make and so on and so forth, we can always depend on the goodness and the faithfulness of our God. And that's something that grows with you as you get older. And so today I want us to look at the first five verses of this psalm, because they teach us how to get a jump start on the day and how to get an early lead and to hang on to it all the way through all the late innings, the late innings of the day. If you think of your day as a baseball game, and sometimes that might be a little difficult to put it that way, but it might help you understand the day that you're in and the day that God has given you. To think of it as in terms of a baseball game and all the innings of that day and all the innings of the game. And by the time I'm ready to go to bed, you know, I'm ready to go to bed. I am probably getting a little more anxious to get to bed earlier nowadays than I ever have. I don't know about you, but I'm starting to go to bed early. Used to be I would stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning. Now, you wouldn't be surprised if you found me in bed by 9 o'clock. Now, that's really, really early. And my son tells me, you're just getting ready for the old folks home by doing that, getting ready early. So, I want us to think about this psalm this morning. I want us to look at Psalm 105. There are three steps here that we can take each and every morning to get a head start on the day. Now, these are very practical steps, and they come up here in this psalm. And the first one I want to share with you is this. It's very basic, and that is that we ought to start every day with a thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for getting me through the night. Thank you I wasn't woken up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Thank you, Lord, for the rest of the night. I was reading recently about the psychological and health-related benefits of gratitude. A statement was made that gratitude determines your altitude. Grateful people sleep better. They do. Thankful people, grateful people sleep better. For example, they're less likely to be depressed. They're more likely to thrive in their personal relationships. They're less likely get really upset to suffer from high blood pressure, from hypertension, from other physical symptoms. They typically feel better, they're more resilient, and they tend to make better decisions. If you're a thankful person, you tend to be a healthier person. Now, I know that I don't say thank you enough, hardly enough. And I try to say thank you as much as I can. I want to thank all those guys last week, by the way, who cooked the meal, did all that barbecuing outside. I was going to thank you individually, but thank you for that. I have a boss that says thank you every time he turns around. And, you know, that makes a good boss. Someone who says thank you. Someone who appreciates you. Someone who thanks you for who you are and what you're doing. These are all results of various studies that from Stanford University and Berkeley University and Harvard and others. There is a mountain of scientific evidence out there to support the idea that gratitude or thankfulness is good for you. It really is. One of the healthiest habits you can develop is to wake up each day and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. If you don't have a tendency towards gratitude, I urge you to develop that tendency. I urge you to become more of a thankful person. It'll revolutionize you. It'll give you a new attitude in life. It'll give you a better perspective on what's happening and how the events of this life may be affecting you in your daily walk. So, just a simple thank you. And to thank each other, to be always thanking each other as a church family is an amazing, wonderful thing to happen and to exercise. So, but here's the reason. Here's the reason we're to be thankful, because God deserves it. He deserves our gratitude. And if gratitude offers no benefits at all, God would still be worthy of every ounce of every thank you and every word ever uttered, because He is good. And we need to tell Him that. We need to tell Him that He's good. We need to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And we need to do it every day. King David begins this psalm in Psalm 105, and he says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Let this be the way we greet each other as well. Just give thanks for each other. God loves to hear His people express their gratitude. Their gratitude to Him. Their gratitude for each other. Their gratitude for the people that surround our lives. The people that we work with. God wants to hear us become more gratitude people, a thankful people, I should say. Psalm 100, everybody knows that particular passage. It says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. From Psalm 100, verse 4. I want us to think about that this morning. In a moment, I want us to talk about being in God's presence. And this is where being in God's presence begins. Because being in God's presence begins with a thankful heart. You cannot escape it. You cannot avoid it. You say you enter His gates with thanksgiving. It's like gratitude gets you past the security guard onto the property, so to speak. You enter His gates with thanksgiving, and you enter His courts with praise. So, with thanksgiving, with praise, a heart filled with gratitude, a heart filled with overwhelming gratitude leads to a heart filled with praise. And if you have a heart full of praise, You have a heart that's in tune with what God wants to do in your life and how He wants to use you, and how He wants to speak through you, and how He wants you to relate to other people. This is why after David says, give thanks to the Lord, he says in verse 2, sing to Him. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him. So even if you can't offer any songs, even if you can't sing at all, you can still sing. You can still offer to the Lord song of praise. If you want to get your day off to the best possible start, just say thank you and then let your gratitude lead you into a moment of praise. This is what this psalm is saying. And I hope you go home and read it and meditate on it this afternoon. What happens if first thing in the morning you don't feel all bubbly? What happens then? And if you find yourself not quite in a gratitude mood, what if you wake up grumpy? Anybody wake up grumpy?
I usually let her sleep.
Oh. All right. Confession is good. All right, didn't expect to hear that. If you wake up grumpy, there's a guy I work with at Cabela's, we call him Grumpy. He's actually not very grumpy, but we call him Grumpy anyway. And he's the head of the fly fishing department at the store. And he comes in and we say, good morning, Grumpy. And he said, Mr. Grumpy here, reporting for duty. And then he starts laughing. He really makes everybody happy. He's the opposite of being grumpy. And he's a very, very lively, jovial person. And so, sometimes we don't feel very bubbly. Sometimes we don't feel very thankful. But we need to be thankful. We say, God, thank you for loving me regardless of how I feel. So your feelings really have nothing to do with it when it comes down to it. Your feelings don't. We're to be thankful anyway. In all things, the scripture says, we're to be thankful. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we thank you. We say, Lord, thank you for loving me regardless of how I feel. And even if that other person is grumpy, then maybe you are the person God could use to get rid of a little bit of that grumpiness and liven things up. Right, Frank? And that's your job. The second thing this psalm says is this. Not only are we to get involved in, and we're to say thank you as we begin the day, the second thing is this, we need to make a list of God's goodness and we need to refer to it often. In this psalm, we see a whole list of David's understanding of God's goodness. God's goodness came to the forefront in David's life on many, many different occasions. And here, as you read the rest of this psalm, you'll see almost a list that David is coming up with as an excuse to celebrate God's goodness. In verse 1, David says this, make known the deeds among the peoples. Make his deeds known. And then verse 2, he says, tell of all his wondrous works. Tell of all his glory. Tell of all his beauty. Tell of all his wondrous works, David says. And on he goes. But what if every day, without being pushy or preachy, you make it a point to mention to someone something good that God has done in your life? I think that is a wonderful exercise, or in the life of someone you know. Not saying it's like a salesman, but maybe more like a reporter. You could say, this is what God has done for me today. This is how he has blessed me. What a wonderful witness that is as well. You know, more like a witness to the event. If you just made it a point to mention to others how God had provided in a time of need, how he transformed perhaps your life, how he transformed perhaps the life of someone else, how he gave you the strength to face a challenge that you were going through, whatever it might be, what if God's goodness just became a part of your casual conversation every day? Now, we say when we get together here on Sunday morning, God is good all the time, right? That's something we ascribe to. That's almost our creed, because we believe in the goodness of God. We believe in His grace. We believe in His goodness that we, as undeserving people, receive the goodness of Almighty God. But we need to make that a habit. We need to make it a habit telling other people how good God has been to us and how good He is even now, even in the midst of difficult times. Our problem is we tend to forget all the times that God has come through for us. God has come through for us, whether we know it or not. He has come through for us. And this is why David mentions one essential and very powerful word that we need to take note of in verse 5. And this is a word I want you to remember. It says this: remember. Remember that word, remember. That's what we're going to be doing in a minute. We're going to be remembering what Jesus did for us on the cross. We're going to be remembering His broken body. We're going to be remembering His shed blood. And so, David says, remember. Remember what? Look at verse 5. Remember His wonders, which He has done. His marvels and the judgments uttered by His mouth. Remember those things. David devotes the rest of the psalm to remembering. Remembering. In writing how God has been faithful to His people in the past. How He was faithful to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and Joseph, and Aaron, and Moses. And He tells you and I that if they were to remember back then, that we also are to remember. He says, remember the wondrous works He has done. Remember them. It does us good to remember. It does us good to always remember and not forget. To remember all that God has done for His people throughout all of Scripture. As you read the Old Testament, that's why I do not believe you can understand the New Testament without understanding the Old Testament. As you look back in the Old Testament, you see the faithfulness of God. You see all the glory of God being revealed from the very beginning, from the Garden of Eden, throughout the history of Israel, and into the time of the minor prophets, of how God has been good, of how God has been faithful. So God does come through for us. He came through for us on the cross, didn't He? He came through for us when He died for our sins, when He was nailed to that cross, when He sacrificially gave His life so that you and I might have eternal life. God came through for us. We tend to forget that. We tend to forget it. Now, one of the things that was on my mind through this pandemic was, you know, when we share communion, I've seen churches do it in many different ways. You know, they would everybody would be watching their telephone screen or their computer screen, and the pastor would say, "Oh, get up and go grab a cracker and some juice, and we'll celebrate communion." But let me tell you, there's nothing like celebrating communion than being together as the people of God. This is where it was ordained to be. We believe in the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. But we believe it to be most significant when God's people come together, such as we are this morning. So we need to remember that God came through for us. So I'm challenging you, and I guess this could be your homework or whatever you want to call it, to spend a few moments at some point, either this afternoon or the next few days, making a list of the times that God has come through for you. Has God come through for you this week? Has He come through in a way that perhaps maybe even supernatural? Has God been true for you in your relationships with other people? Remember, David says, remember the wonders of the Lord your God. Maybe you could start, you know, remembering your, even from your childhood, and remember how God was faithful to you even as a child. I know when I was a kid, I was into a lot of mischief, but God protected me. He protected me against myself. He protected me against the evil one. I remember my childhood, you know, even experiencing answered prayer. I knew nothing about prayer, knew nothing to answer about answered prayer. But I believe there was one instance in my life where God was answering prayer even though I didn't know about it. I can say that it was true, it's true even today. So, if you can remember all these items, remember all of these things that happened in your life, if you want your day to move to the best, in the best possible direction, remind yourself and remind others frequently of God's long-established pattern of coming through for His people. He wants and He desires to come through for you, for me, no matter what we may be going through. And here's the third and final thing I want you to think about this morning from Psalm 105 and how we get a head start in our walk with God. Number three, we are to move forward in full pursuit of God's presence. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen anybody in full pursuit or not, but the other day when I was driving up I-95, I saw a state trooper in full pursuit of someone that was speeding. And let me tell you, this guy was doing, I was doing 65, maybe 70. Maybe just a little more. But this guy was doing over 100. I knew he was way over 100. And I looked behind, there was two state police guys coming. Just, I don't think they had the power in those vehicles to catch up with this guy. And I'm not sure if they caught him or not, but I did not see him pulled over by the side of the road. He may very well have gotten away, but these state troopers were in full pursuit of this guy that was speeding up the highway. If we could think of our Christian walk in the same way, that we would be in full pursuit of God's presence, what a wonderful thing that would be. What a great opportunity, and what a great choice to make to be in pursuit of God's presence. I want to encourage you to make this same decision in your relationship with God. Let's not spend another day apart from His presence. And through this pandemic, all this time, many of us have been apart, many of us have really, you know, God has been working in different ways in our hearts, in our lives. But through this time, it's been very difficult. And people have had a very tough time being connected to each other. Even often I hear people having a tough time struggling in their relationship with God. God does not want that. He wants us to be in full pursuit of His presence. And so the question is, you know, realizing that God is with us. Do we believe God is with us? Amen. He is with us. He says He's with us. He is everywhere. He is where we are. And if you're a believer today, He is in you. And the question we need to ask is this. Am I with Him? Am I walking with Him? Am I there with Him? And so, this is what David is trying to encourage us to do and to say. David says in verse 3, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. And then in verse 4 he says, seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His presence continuously. He says three things here. Number one, you and I are called to seek His presence. We're to seek His presence every single day. Number two, we are to seek His strength. Every day we face challenges. Every day, sometimes it's uphill all the way. Challenges that are bigger than we are. Some will come in the form of temptations. Others will come in the form of opportunities. Others will come in the form of relationships. But all of these require God's strength. All of these require God's power to get us through. And so we need to ask for His help. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11, it says this: look to the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continuously. So we're to seek His presence. We're to seek His strength. And the third thing David says here in this psalm is we are to seek His joy. God wants us to have this joy in our hearts. In verse 4, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Rejoice. If you're seeking God, guess what? You're going to rejoice. If you're seeking after God, you're going to have joy in your soul that's unspeakable. If you're seeking after the Lord, you will know the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. This is what God says to us right here. That's His promise that we can take to the bank every single day. So, as I close, I just want to just encourage you that the goal for all of us, I have no doubt, is to maximize the outcome of every single day. You get up in the morning, when I get up in the morning, God has sort of laid this on my heart recently to make the best of every day. To make the most of every day. To experience everything this day has to offer. To take advantage of every good opportunity that comes my way and to do the best we possibly can with all that we have been given. You see, we have it all already. If you have Christ, you have the hope of His glory. If you have Christ, you have the Spirit living within you. If you have Christ, there's nothing else you need because He is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or think because He lives in you and He desires to work through you. So we get an early head start because the early lead gets the win. The early lead gets the win. God's interested in that. God wants that for each and every one of us. God wants us to hold on to that. God wants us to take every moment of every day and learn from Him and do it His way. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, for this passage of Scripture from Psalm 105. I pray that we would go home and study this a little more. And we would meditate on it, Lord. That we would remember Your wonders which You have done. And we would rejoice in those wonders from the very beginning of the day, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. The name of the Lord is to be praised. Lord, may this be our desire. Implant these aspirations in our hearts and minds, O God, that we would please You. In Jesus' name, amen.